Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Police say they still don't know why a Walmart employee opened fire at the store in Chesapeake, Virginia last night, killing six people and then apparently killing himself. A witness says it was a Walmart manager. Police Chief Mark Zaleski.
We are truly saddened at the tragedy that took place in our community last night. We are all praying for the family, friends, and co-workers of everyone that's affected by this senseless violence.
The AP's Julie Walker.
Officer Leo Kaczynski says when police went into Walmart, they found the shooter dead along with the victims and the injured.
It's sad. You know, we're a couple days before the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, anytime it's a sad, I mean, it's just a bad time all around.
That audio courtesy WVEC. There have been 40 mass killings in the U.S. so far this year, according to a database by the AP, USA Today, and Northeastern University.
The alleged shooter accused in the deaths of five people at a Colorado Springs gay nightclub is scheduled to make a first court appearance within hours. The AP's Donna Warder.
22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldridge is scheduled to appear in court by video from jail. According to court filings by Aldridge's defense team, Aldridge is non-binary and uses the pronouns they and them. Aldridge was beaten into submission by patrons during Saturday night's shooting at Club Q. Investigators say the motive behind the shooting is still unclear, but Aldridge faces possible murder and hate crimes charges.
If you are traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday, expect crowds no matter how you're going, says the AAA. Plane, bus, train, car, cruise ship. 55 million of us are on the move. Two explosions near bus stops in Jerusalem, killing a teenager and injuring at least 18. This is AP News.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80-plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It, shirts designed to be.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The second of three defendants in a 2020 murder in western Wisconsin is sentenced to prison. A Gunn County jury convicted Ryan Steinhoff yesterday. Ashley Gunder is already serving 25 years for her role. A third suspect was acquitted. Bruce McGuigan was found stabbed to death in Downsville. Steinhoff will be sentenced later. The Catholic Diocese of Superior is out with a list of the names of 23 priests and other clergy with substantiated allegations of sexual abuse of children. The list is the result of three separate clergy filed reviews, more than a year of meetings, and multiple sessions with the Diocesan Review Board. In sports, Badger men's basketball takes on Dayton this afternoon. The Bucks host Chicago tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Yo. We about to check.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, and Wednesday at 10 o'clock, as always, our good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing, Doctor?
Good morning, Earl. Good to be with you.
Let me ask you, let me begin by... Make America great and glorious again. Enough already, huh?
Lord, it was amazingly rambling and incoherent, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mean, Fox News couldn't even stick with it after a while.
You know, Dr. Craig, this is the third go-round, and... You know, Republicans can act as though they've separated themselves from him. But, you know, it's 2 years out. You know, Lindsey Graham, who clearly stated that he was not going to early on, you know, he was going to wait and see. But once Donald Trump, you know, made this statement, 2 years out, Lindsey Graham is now backtracking. You know, how many more people are going to do that exact same thing, right? What are people expecting?
How many times has Lindsey Graham backtracked now? He attacked Trump and said he was unfit and incompetent. Then he knuckled under and was one of his biggest lackeys. And now he wants to separate himself again. I guess he could be a lackey again before we know it. It depends what happens. And I think almost a lot of the Republican Party is just waiting and seeing whether the base continues to follow Trump. There's no reason to believe they don't, or enough of them don't, to make life miserable for these folks. And therefore, they put their political careers and power and their own comfort and convenience ahead of democracy or the public interest. So it was kind of like, you know, because I have a, you know, PhD in rhetoric, so I've studied, you know, all the great speeches in American history, and it really didn't feel like the tools of like rhetorical analysis, which are like literary criticism and analysis, were appropriate, that we needed to bring a psychologist in to explain what was going on, that it was something, it was much more like something that a kind of psychosis that needed to be diagnosed.
Dr. Craig, a PhD in rhetoric.
Yeah,
I didn't know that existed.
Well, do you know University of Wisconsin has two different ones, one in the communication department and one in the English department? So there are, yes, two different rhetoric PhD programs at UW-Madison. So who knew?
So let me ask you this. After this, and I was talking about this earlier, they've been able to now look at some things and realize that Generation Z, especially women, 18 to 29, you know, kind of were the heroes in this, Dr. Craig. In the outcome. In the outcome, yeah. Where Republicans, you know, And they prevented this so-called red tsunami. What did you garner from that?
Well, there's a huge generational divide, and this is the most progressive generation since, I would say, the 1960s. And, of course, that generation was radical in college, but after the 70s wore on, a lot of them became more conservative, as we know. So it's not necessarily permanent. It depends how things go. I think there's a huge opportunity here to first stop the attack on democracy and on common sense, which we did in this election by holding the red wave off and making democracy a bit safer. But this generation is going to be profoundly dissatisfied if we don't start doing things like addressing the climate crisis, addressing racial and economic inequality. And really moving back on a lot of the fascistic tendency of the right to impose their narrow views upon the rest of the population, even their minority views. I mean, you had Robin Voss yesterday saying he'd like the Republican caucus to act more in line with where public opinion is. Well, he's been the mastermind of making sure that our elections, our districts are so gerrymandered that, of course, they don't have to. And that's the problem. The self-correcting mechanism of you would lose your reelection if you were not in step with public opinion has been taken away by the Republican conspiracy and by Robin Voss. So he can wish for it, but he created the conditions for a caucus now that can ignore the public.
Can you do those things with divided government?
Not with this division, not with who holds the legislature, because this is an extreme anti-democratic brand of conservatism. I mean, if we had some division between the old Rockefeller Republicans and Tony Evers, you could do policy with that, but that's not who controls the legislature.
So, but nationally, Dr. Craig, it's the same thing. We've got this divided government, which is a guarantee that basically that almost nothing's going to get done. How long can we continue to prosper or survive as a society under those types of, you know, conditions?
We can't, and it discredits democracy in a perverse sort of way. The fact they don't want to govern at all, they want to tear down and destroy, actually helps to tear down and destroy, because increasingly people just turn away from government making any difference, elections making any difference. So we've got to, and so they are right now, that is the Republican Party is the major barrier to actually governing this country. And that's not just a threat to our democracy, that's a threat to the world, given the climate crisis.
You know, Dr. Craig, the Republicans certainly have a chance now to lick their wounds. They're not done, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to acquiesce and act in the manner of adults and say, well, the people spoke, you know, let's try to govern in line with what the majority, you know, says. They're just going to double down and become even more obstinate, right?
Well, you think about the Republican Congress, and they're going to win by a couple seats, it looks like, unfortunately. And New York may have cost us control here.
New York did.
And so, which is ironic, but, you know, Kevin McCarthy, who has no principles at all, just blind ambition, wants to be speaker, has cut some sort of deal with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And we know that would involve crazy investigations into Hunter Biden, maybe impeaching President Biden or Merrick Garland or whoever else, Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, and just trashing government. It's going to make the Benghazi investigations or the impeachment of Bill Clinton for lying about his sexual encounters with an intern. It's going to make those look like nothing compared to what they'll do. And so there's it. It's going, they're going to It's a real problem for the Republican Party. It discredits them, but it's even bigger problem for the country because it discredits, because we don't act on our problems, and we weaken this country. The country is still wealthy enough; it's very wealthy and strong enough to solve all of our problems and create a much more just society that actually is sustainable. We just have a party and an economic elite behind them. They're not made out of nothing. Corporate America and the billionaires are funding this. They were funding all the attack ads, the sleazy attack ads against Mandela Barnes. And so they're responsible for this as well. They're standing behind this party, and they funded it.
You know, Dr. Craig, that there's no brotherhood in the nation. And so since there's no brotherhood in the nation, there's no way that, unfortunately, that both parties are going to be able to sit down at the table, as Dr. King would have said, of brotherhood, and do us in the best interest of the citizens of this nation. And so, you know, elections be damned. Clearly, we were able to stave off what could have been just a massive disaster had Republicans wound up with the Senate, too. But even having said that, and the fact that they are now going to control Congress, if only by a whisper or a whisker, it's still enough to cause, you know, the lack of movement forward to deal with the issues that are so important today.
No, that's right. And so this is a time where Democrats, quite frankly, have to prevent them from crashing the world economy by reneging on the country's national debt, which a lot of their hardcore members and their crazy right-wingers in the House want to do, and use the executive branch effectively and implement all of the policies that were passed. It was a highly successful first 2 years of this term, one of the most successful first 2 years of a presidency in American history, actually, though it was not perceived that way by a lot of folks. When you add it all up, it's pretty amazing. We've got to implement that stuff. And I think it's very important the Democrats lay out a clear economic agenda, climate agenda, healthcare agenda, an economic agenda that goes to economic security, that starts to do things like paid family medical leave, long overdue, making child care affordable, which would be a great economic benefit to corporations because more people be freed up to work. They're not working because they can't get affordable child care, and they claim there's a labor shortage. But to lay that out so that there's a clear contrast between a constructive program people want and what's going to come out of that party in this next election, it's either going to be a Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis, it looks like. And Ron DeSantis is just another a different coloration of the same kind of thing. So we're still in this dangerous period, and we have a Supreme Court case right now because they packed the U.S. Supreme Court. But right now we have a U.S. Supreme Court case that would give legislatures the ultimate authority to decide elections and decide everything else. This bizarre legislative supremacy theory, which was a fringe legal theory, but now we have a Supreme Court that could uphold it. This is a North Carolina case, and that could give this undemocratic legislature in Wisconsin the right to override the public and decide to give all the electors to a Trump or DeSantis in 2024.
So hold on a moment, Dr. Craig. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 50 this afternoon under sunny skies. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight. Lows around 33. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. High of 47. Temps above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the middle 40s. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 40 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, $17 billion is the number, according to NPR, is the tally of the amount of money that was spent for this midterm election, blowing the record off the table. Where do we go from here, Dr. Craig? $17 billion for midterm elections. At some point in time, sanity has to come into play. Is there going to be sanity, you know, soon? Or, you know, I don't know how we can bring sanity back to any of these, any of this.
Well, this was the dystopian kind of nightmare that was predicted if we completely deregulated elections in this country and allowed secret dark money to flow, and also created massive income inequality, so these people have money to burn, right? Elon Musk, you know, that's nothing, right, to him.
Right,
he can
right.
throw in $1 billion into election. It's just a small little investment in his portfolio. And so we're stuck with this because the Republican Party created this system in the first place. They thought it would benefit them. And a lot of folks just struggling to live their lives are not fully conscious of to what extent they are being manipulated by historic levels of what is propaganda, flat out, designed to, you know, good, tweak your emotions and rev you up in directions that are helpful to the powerful. And so the only way to deal with this, we at least have greatly improved what the consensus is within the Democratic coalition. We were only two votes short in the last Congress of reining a lot of this in. A really bold campaign finance law that wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago passed the House and was two votes short in the Senate. So we're close if we can win elections and get full Democratic power, but we got to win those elections and have governing majorities. And that's the only way. It's not good. There's not going to be some kind of, moral awakening that occurs among corporate America, among billionaires, among Republican politicians. And there are a few moderate kind of corporate Democrat politicians who also take this money, but are more conflicted about it. They're a bit of a problem too. Not as much as the ones who, the Mitch McConnells of the world, who masterminded this. And they're the head of the Federalist Society, et cetera. There are a number of villains and culprits in this, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is $17 billion, and yet we say we can't afford health care, right? We can't afford daycare. Things that we can't afford, and yet it's not that we can't afford them. We choose not to. And long term, Dr. Craig, you know, $17 billion after the 2024 elections, that'll be in the rearview mirror. You know,
it'll get worse. And remember, these are investments that have returns. So it'll cost us a lot more than $17 billion, the fact that folks were able to spend $17 billion. We saw that. Yeah, in a rare transparency, because ProPublica got a hold of the records, the great investigative journalism nonprofit, that we know that the two billionaires in Wisconsin, Richard Eline and Diane Hendricks, that had put $20 million into Johnson's reelections and were the major funders of those horrendous racist ads that were on the air for months and months, that they got $100 million back in terms of benefits and the Trump tax cuts from Senator Johnson, from the provision he carved out. So we know that you lose even more money. That was a 5-to-1 return, roughly. So we're going to lose at least that to the bad policies that have come forward. You know, if the Republicans win full control, the presidency and the Senate in 2024, there'll be another round of Trump-style tax cuts, and they'll loot the Treasury yet again.
So, Dr. Craig, do you think that the reason that they can continue with this type of thing is because the American people just aren't aware of it? That has to be what's at the root of it, because otherwise, why would people vote for a man like Ron Johnson and you realize, hey, you're not one of the, you're not Diane Hendricks, or you're not the other guy? What has Ron Johnson done for you as an average person, but yet you chose to, you know, vote for him and put him back in his seat? If you really understood the nuances of what is taking place here, you clearly would not be voting for a man like Ron Johnson.
In our tribal politics, Earl, most of those voters were already baked in, right? They were going to vote for the Republican side because they think it's their side. And then the biggest question in this election was relative turnout. And what happened is both sides turned out high. Mandela played a major role in making sure our turnout was high, and it benefited Tony Evers. Perversely, though, he lost just a few votes from swingy voters, and that made him a narrow loser and Tony Evers a winner. So even though Mandela's campaign helped Tony Evers a lot, he did not fully benefit, because all of that money was able to move just enough folks on this fear that somehow Mandela was going to unleash all the criminal elements coded as black in those ads, and that is why this is dog whistle racism. So tapped into racial fears, and therefore they didn't vote for Mandela, but they voted for Tony Evers and Josh Call.
So when we get back, it's appalling.
We've
got to go to a break. When we get back, I want to drill down on that. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. You can join us. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the...
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. We still don't know why a Walmart employee opened fire in a store in Chesapeake, Virginia last night, killing six people, then apparently shooting himself, say police. He was found dead. The AP's Julie Walker with an employee's dramatic story of what happened last night.
Walmart employee Brianna Tyler tells ABC's Good Morning America workers had gathered in the store's break room. I looked up. My manager just opened the door, and he just opened fire. He didn't say a word. He didn't say anything at all.
In Ukraine, power is out to most consumers, says the energy ministry, after another barrage of Russian strikes. The energy ministry says it needs time to restore the power. Here in the U.S., analysts say if you're hoping for a big holiday sale, you may be disappointed. They say many items will still cost more than they did last year because of inflation. Millions of Americans are traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday, most by car, says the AAA. I'm Rita Foley.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80-plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It, shirts designed to be...
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Newly re-elected Attorney General Josh Call is hoping Republicans will live up to their campaign promises to improve public safety by increasing funding to the DOJ and approving his request for 67 more positions. Speaking with WisPolitics.com, Call discussed his focus on increasing money for violence prevention and mental health services and increasing shared revenue so local governments can improve their public safety resources. Call also stating the need for more emergency detention funding. Wisconsin only has one facility in Winnebago County. The AG said he's confident his lawsuit seeking to end Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban will succeed. After 32 years, Wisconsin State Senator Alberta Darling has announced she's retiring December 1st. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, everybody is trying to figure out how Mandela Barnes came up 27,000 votes short, and there were people and others who, and I'm one who believes that people split their votes, and some Democrats split their votes. That to me seems to be the only reasonable conclusion to come to. What are your thoughts?
You got to remember how close he came. This is a near tie, and that had to do with him driving a lot of turnout. But and he, when we're comparing him to Tony Evers, we're comparing him to a politician who's based on the right side Democratic Party and is appealing much more than most Democrats to the small number of independents and ticket splitters. We also need to understand the structural elements here. One structural element is that we're still not doing enough rural organizing, and so we lost ground in small towns, rural areas, and exurbs. That was balanced in part by the fact that we gained ground in cities and in more densely populated suburbs. But we didn't match 2018 turnout in Milwaukee, which to me says we're not investing enough in organizing year-round on issues that matter to people. We're reaching the limit of what you can do just to turn people out just around election time. And there were massive expenditures. We need to build a deeper civic democracy, and that is investing in actual relational organizing, the kind, I mean, Citizen Action Wisconsin is not the only group that does that, but we're one of them. So that is all going on. We look forward, but we also need to understand another structural element, and that is the incumbents tended to win in this election. Look at it, Josh Call and Tony Evers won here, but so did the incumbent senator, who was in a very close race in Nevada and in Arizona. And so you did have a tendency, even though the public says they're very mad and upset about the status quo, incumbents have advantages. They can raise more money, and Tony Evers did raise more money than Menla Barnes, and they are better known. They're harder to define with the negative ads because they already are an existing brand. Mandela had to put a lion's share of his money introducing himself to the public, and I think they remained really disciplined about that. And those were very good ads. About Mandela and who he really was, and how he came up from the north side, and how he, you know, was an average person, not yet another millionaire in a millionaire's club in the U.S. Senate. So it was a harder lift for Mandela to win against an incumbent, even a completely unfit incumbent like Ron Johnson. It was just enough to get Ron Johnson over the top, and he would not have won without $30 million in the most scurrilous ads you can imagine that were dominating every commercial break. And it's fair to say, Earl, that it was an ugly victory on behalf of Ron Johnson and does not stand him in good stead in history's judgment, but he doesn't care about that.
So what are your thoughts about those who say that the Democratic Party nationally, at a time that this withering assault on Mandela Barnes did not respond financially, and while this assault was going on, the National Democratic Party did not put the resources necessary for Barnes to break that up?
I'd have to know more about what mistakes they might have made, because let's face it, they spent more than they've ever spent in a midterm, and they were still outspent because of the escalation in money, and they had a big checkerboard, right? We barely won the Arizona and Nevada Senate races, and the Arizona governor's race was even closer, and that was an insurrectionist candidate, Kari Lake, that might have, you know, threatened the outcome of the 2024 election. A ton on Senator Warnock, and we got more to spend there. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, who won a close race against Dr. Oz, Trump's handpicked candidate. So I can't say right now that Mandela did have a lot of money, okay, by any normal standard, if they had pulled money and put it here, it gets them over the top, we lose the Nevada Senate race. I can't say that I can tell you, because I have more, at this point, direct knowledge of what the state Democrats did, that we put money into some incumbents that felt threatened in the state assembly, who ended up winning with like 58% of the vote. And clearly that was money that could have gone to help challengers that were in closer races. But that's one of the biases. And that may have happened in the Senate race, Earl. That is to say, there's a tendency to support the incumbents because they already have power within the party over the challengers. And it's possible that happened. I just would have to hear the case that there was a money they had raised available that they sent an unproductive place instead of to Lieutenant Governor Barnes.
Well, so and clearly there's a finite amount of resources and money
And so they, to defend those senatorial seats, Democratic senatorial seats, that again, as you stated, were, you know, already Democratic, were where they, you know, had to draw the line. But, and I said to people, you have to understand, even in the laws, the fact that a young 35-year-old black man from Milwaukee, from the central city of Milwaukee, was able to push a two-term United States senator with all those resources to the brink, you know, and even in the laws, says a lot, right? I mean, you know, it was an uphill slog from the beginning, but the fact that it certainly scared the bejesus out of Ron Johnson, and the fact that it still could have been won. And so we can't look at it as just a total loss, because I think, you know, it, all throughout all of it, I was trying to get people to understand just, you know, how difficult a task this was, even though Mandela and nobody has to hang their head. It was an unbelievable campaign.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, Earl. We need to lean into that, because in our political culture right now, it's kind of aping sports. Everyone's a Monday morning quarterback. So on every talk show, what we hear about is if Mandela had done this, if he had done that, right, then he would have won. It's very much like if Packers had run this play instead of that play, they would have won that game. And you hear the sports talk, they don't know at all. They're just talking, and furthermore, they're over certain, because everything that you ask Mandela to do, like run a different ad, means he's running less of what he was doing, and you don't know what the negative impact of that would have been. He ran a disciplined campaign, and I got an email from a member saying we would have been better off with one of the other primary candidates for U.S. Senate. I think Mandela ran a very good, strong campaign. He clearly showed he's the strongest candidate in the primary, because the other candidates all pulled out, for goodness sake. So it's just, we need to get over that and not be spectators like that, but actually, unlike in football, where we cannot go and block for Aaron Rodgers, right? In politics, we can all participate. We can all volunteer. We can all make phone calls. We can all find other ways to help. And so people need to stop thinking that there's some quick, easy answer that would have turned the election when it was a very close election, and actually in the next cycle commit themselves to do more themselves, to lean into their own responsibility. So I'd like to get out of this kind of pundit culture that and sports talk culture that we have fallen into, Earl. And that means understanding and appreciating that Mandela is a middle-class guy from the north side of Milwaukee who almost rose at the age of 35 to the U.S. Senate and may still do rise to that or some other level. And there's a lot that was beyond his control. I think that the lack of massive turnout, though it was high, say in the black neighbors in Milwaukee, is partly because Mandela couldn't, in his whole campaign alone, explain what the Democratic economic agenda is and how helpful it would be to those folks when the National Democrats have done such a bad job of explaining it.
You know, Dr. Craig, and then for the bigger picture, is that they held on to the Senate because, you know, it would have been a whole lot worse as if, you know, Mandela losing and the Democrats losing the Senate. So, you know, you've got to look at it from the perspective of, you know, as tight as things were, you know, they still maintain control over the Senate. And I'll say this, if the Republicans had their choice, they wish it was them that was controlling the Senate. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, yeah, and that's why you can't just say there were Democratic resources to pull from somewhere else, given how close all these other races are and how close a call it still is in Georgia with Senator Warnock, the best qualified U.S. setter running against someone who would be the least qualified U.S. setter, which is saying something given some of the folks they have in the Republican side of the U.S. Senate. But I think it's true. And so, if you think about it this way, the top five races were Nevada with a very embattling incumbent, Cortez Masdow, with Senator Kelly, who only had been in there 2 years, in Arizona, with the open seat in Pennsylvania, and with John Fetterman having suffered a stroke, so not being able to campaign as vigorously and raising questions about his health. Obviously, Georgia. And then Wisconsin, if we hold on and win the Georgia race on December 6th and the recall, they'll have won all but one of those, and they almost won Wisconsin. So it's a pretty darn good record, actually. You never expect your sports teams to win every single game. So it's a killer for us because we got to suffer through another 6 years of Ron Johnson, and because if we'd gotten a +2 in the Senate, we wouldn't have to worry about Manchin or Sinema. Now we have to worry about one of them. Of course, we can't pass legislation now anyway because of the House and Republican control, most likely, any major legislation. So I think they had a very good record, Earl, but we've got to build on it. I was, my barber shop, the Ortiz brothers, I went got a haircut right after the election. It was a long delay. They're outraged that we have to deal with another 6 years of Ron Johnson, and we all should be, and we should all be saddened that Mandela is not going to the U.S. Senate right now.
There's no question that I have certainly, suffered because of knowing him personally, knowing what kind of young man he is, and the battle that he put up and put forth, and the hard work that he put in, but that it's a win or lose some game, right? I mean, after it's all said and done, it becomes so abrupt. And it ends, and my focus is how he's doing, and what we can do to make sure that the young man recovers, because that's got to be a difficult slog, Dr. Craig, to be there and be that close, and then basically it ends. So my hope is that we pray for him. And that whatever it is we can do to make sure that young man who put up that tremendous fight and his family know that we care for him, we love them, and we'll just continue to support him when he makes whatever his next decision is. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It is Wednesday. Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Blackshirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 50. South winds around 5 miles an hour. 33 tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 47, overcast. Temps above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the middle 40s. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday. It's with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, after such a long, hard-fought battle, we do know that, I was hoping that maybe, and some of the things that Robin Voss said, well, maybe it's time to, attempt to start working with the governor. And then you bring out what you just brought out. That so, what is he saying? Has he changed his tune, or is he still the same guy?
I think Robin Voss has always been about, power, right, and having a Republican majority, but is not really a MAGA guy. And we saw that where he understood that it was illegal to try to decertify the 2020 election. That's how he ran afoul of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump almost took him out in his primary with a crazy MAGA candidate from out of the blue, this Adam Steen, I believe, character. And so it seems like Voss had to deal with the Gableman clown car
that he
seemed to create it to appease Trump, and then he tried to control it and couldn't because Gableman is that crazy and that MAGA. And so it is weird. I mean, he is signaling that he would like to find common ground with a governor who has, I take Governor Evers' word, the truest thing he said in the campaign was that he wanted bipartisan compromise and he'd work on any constructive proposal. What's not clear to me is whether Robin Voss can actually lead his caucus in that direction. And there was one time that we actually met with Robin Voss for lunch in his office. And it was really funny because some of his colleagues on the Joint Finance Committee, very conservative representatives, were coming out of the room, and they looked after behind me like, what is he doing in there? Like there was something awful going on, like it looked shocked.
Sinister.
But Voss told us, I mean, he does bring his own lunch. I'll give him that. I appreciate that. He pulled out his homemade sandwich. That people misunderstood how conservative and right-wing his caucus was, and he couldn't deliver these things if he wanted to. And I think that's still true. I think this is a very MAGA caucus, and so I'm not sure what he can deliver to Governor Evers as far as a compromise. Now, here's the thing he could do. The most powerful committee in state government is the Joint Finance Committee. It writes the two-year state budget, which is the only bill that has to pass. Will he appoint six reasonably constructive, for what he has in his caucus, Republicans on that? Because each he gets six. The Senate majority gets six, and the Democrats in each house get two. So you get 16 and they get 12 of the 16. Will those six last budget cycle? They were completely unreasonable. The Senate appointees would have considered taking the Medicaid expansion money, and Voss's appointees were all adamantly and ideologically against it. So that's the question. I'm a little concerned that they might find common ground with Tony Evers only on one thing, like a tax cut that would tend to be a regressive one. And Tony Evers would again want to claim that that was a victory, and that's something I just profoundly disagree with him on. Anything that makes the tax code more regressive, helps higher-income people, and doesn't help the people who are really struggling, middle- and working-class folks, is not anything any Democrat should support.
So Dr. Craig, is it safe to say, or am I thinking about this wrongly? You know, Scott Fitzgerald is no longer there. You know, Paul Ryan is no longer involved. What's the guy's name that was kind of the you know, Scott Walker is no longer there. What's the guy's name who was Donald Trump's advisor who was here in the state level, came from the state of Wisconsin.
Rentz Priebus.
And so all of those people who were there when Robin Voss and others were building this coalition, they're just about all gone now. And so, you know, Robin Voss is kind of like the last man standing. You don't think that there could possibly be, you know, and plus the attack on him where he was fighting for his life to remain there, that maybe he's, you know, been scared, you know, straight?
Well, it's interesting that the leadership class you just mentioned, they were never pro-Trump. In fact, in the 2016 primary, they organized the win for Ted Cruz over Trump in the primary here. They had to become pro-Trump because Trump took over the party. What is unclear to me, like a Paul Ryan is now like a never-Trumper.
Right.
And is very critical of Trump. Scott Walker is too ambitious for that. He's now a pundit on Newsmax pretending to be pro-Trump, but not really that good at pretending, in my view, but still sounding crazy stuff. So I would, I don't, I think that caucus is more MAGA, but it remains to be seen. Let's see what the completely undemocratic caucus, where these people winning 67% of the vote because these districts were so unfairly drawn. And so I just think Republican primaries are producing even less reasonable people than Scott Walker's. And let's face it, Scott Walker and that brand of conservative did tremendous damage to the state. They have more limits. They're not willing to overturn an election that is duly cast, but they're willing to suppress the vote. They're willing to make it very hard for young people, low-income people of color to vote. That's fine with them, but they're not going to overturn the election after the fact. So it's just a matter of degree how undemocratic these two factions are. But it's an open question, Earl, whether that faction can retake control. I think it probably depends on whether Trump really does start to recede and whether Republicans can move him out as a leader of the party, or whether, as has happened last time, he revs up the base and they all back down again.
Dr. Craig, we got to get out of here. Thank you very much as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Earl.
All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
One person, they are two alone. They are three. They are for each other.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Relative to population, I believe Waukesha County is running like twice the mortality rate of Dane County.
Right. Well, and then you and your wife braved Mayville to see the band or the plant.
But man, I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. I'm feeling pretty good about life. Well, I don't know about good shape, but I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted.
Yeah. Did you have a couple glasses of wine up there?
No wine. Lots of rum. Rum tum tum.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.